You're listening to Drop of Inspiration, a Young Living podcast. Join me for leadership lessons, conversations with Young Living influencers, and an inside perspective on our company. I'm your host, Celeste Rosenloff. Hi, Drop of Inspiration listeners. I want to start out with a question today. Did you know that 60 to 80% of our immune system is found in the digestive system? Think about that. Digestive health has a big impact on our overall health, but sometimes we don't give it the attention it deserves. Here to talk to us about supporting digestive health today is Young Living Director of Training and Education, Chad Goodman. Then, Young Living Trainer and Registered Nurse, Ed Daly, will highlight some helpful, mindful eating habits. Plus, the Young Living blog team has a quick message about a pick-me-up that you don't want to miss. Welcome, Chad, to Drop of Inspiration.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Yeah. So, Chad, can you introduce yourself a little bit to our listeners real quick?
Yes. So, Dr. Chad Goodman, I'm a chiropractic physician. I joined Young Living about a year ago. I met some people in my practice named Gary and Mary Young. Maybe familiar with them. So we had some fantastic conversations, and it led to me wanting to be a part of this team, wanting to join their movement. And so I was able to sell my practice in a relatively short time and join the team. I've been in this role since January here, and I'm the Director of Training and Education. So we are quickly becoming a global department with a global influence, but I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah. So first of all, I wanted to get a high-level view of things that we need to know about our digestive system.
Sure. Sometimes people think, I always have patients tell me, I eat pretty healthy. I do pretty healthy, you know. I mean, I have some carrots and a salad every couple of days and, you know, an apple once in a while. And I'm pretty healthy. And it's hard sometimes to understand the concept that you can't supplement a bad diet. You can't out-supplement a bad diet. So even if you were to up your salad intake to every meal, but you're having, you know, lots of saturated fats, unhealthy saturated fats, and you're having a lot of trans fats or processed foods, you're missing the point of how to support your digestive system in a healthy way. So number one is your habits. That's just number one. And then number two is supporting it to keep it healthy and keep it going for you. So one thing I like to point out is just stop and think, do I have to take prescription or non-prescription over-the-counter drug to get through my digestive health through the day? And if that's the case, it's a regular thing, you're really in trouble. Most of our immune system is found in the digestive tract. So it's vitally important to our immune system, and most of our energy is used up in digesting our food.
Interesting.
So if you've heard of fasting clinics, they're kind of a big thing. They're growing in popularity, and there's a lot of different schools of thought around how to support digestion. But we can do a lot day to day to just take a load off and actually really have more energy and feel better.
I mean, what are some of the symptoms that someone may have if they're suffering from digestive issues? Like, what do those look like to a person who's experiencing them?
So if you eat, let's say, throughout your normal kind of meal day to day, and you find typically you're bloating, you have indigestion, you know, irritable bowel syndrome is kind of a catch-all diagnosis, but I received that diagnosis once. And it can be a lot of things, but if you are having you kind of have an overactive bowels and then they are quiet for a while and then they're stop and start type of thing, all of these are symptoms of imbalanced gut health. So bloating, indigestion, acid reflux, and just difficult bowel movements in general, those are all can be really bad signs. So you can do some things from the get-go to really help with that. One is to chew your food really well, thoroughly. Take your time eating. I know we're all in a hurry and we're all busy, but take your time to eat. And then to eat foods that have a lot of natural enzymes already in them, which would be your fresh fruits and vegetables, green leafies, you know, things like that. Things that are really easier for your body to break down.
Okay, so you talked about, you know, leafy greens and lots of produce that are easy for your body to break down. How important are these foods that we eat to our digestive process?
Really important. So our gut's called it's being referred to as our second brain, our enteric nervous system. We have billions of bacteria in our gut, and what we eat adversely affects the function of our gut. So if, for example, if you have a big, you know, like double bacon cheeseburger or something, which sounds good when you're starving, right? Just for example, fast food, and it's dripping with grease and it's really, you know, unhealthy source of meat. That meat's gonna be maldigested for most people. And then it's gonna ferment and kind of putrefy in the bowels. And it just creates havoc. So if we can focus more on living foods, it's so much easier for our body to break down and utilize, and can actually help the bacteria work better in our system. So our small intestine has this microvilli that's really important for absorption of nutrients. And it's kind of like shag carpet. It's nice and thick and plush. And after years of hamburgers and whatever else, we've burned it down. It's more like this commercial Berber. So we're losing surface area, absorption area. And that causes havoc on the rest of the bowel. So then it's harder for the lower intestines to handle what's been through the upper intestines. And it just creates health crisis, if you will. So what we can do, some good steps, is to eat healthier foods, number one, like mm-hmm. I said. And then number two, most of us, especially as we get older, we produce less digestive enzymes. Our pancreas has to work harder to send digestive enzymes to the gut, and we just end up producing less. And so using digestive enzymes, like Essential Zymes 4, can really help support that digestive process and can help the absorption and nutrient process that goes on as well. So we really want to support it with enzymes. We have a lot of different enzymes at Young Living. We have more than most will offer, which is fantastic. We have Allerzyme, Detoxzyme, Essential Zymes, and Essential Zyme 4. And they're all a little bit different. So I use all of them, but I have a history of GI stress, distress. So I like using all of them just to keep things working well. Because in those products, you'll have different enzymes that break down starches, sugars, carbs, like that, fats, proteins. So even phytase is an Allerzyme and Detoxzyme. Phytase is really beneficial to unlock the nutrients in grains that can cause, frankly, distress in sensitive guts. So there's some things that Gary's helped produce over the years that are really gonna support, in our modern American diet, support the digestive process. Essential Zymes 4, I like to just take that ongoing because I eat a lot of meat in my diet. I eat a lot of vegetables too, but I like meat, and I like the Essential Zymes 4 ability to help digest the protein better in my gut. So we've got some great products for that. And then on the other end, if you will, not literally on the other end, but on the other side of that coin, we have basically bacteria support products for our bowels. So prebiotics are non-digestible ingredients that go through the bowels and then feed the bacteria that's in our gut. And so there are many foods that you can go to for that, onions, leeks, garlic, etc. And then probiotics help increase the microbiome, help increase the bacteria number, your flora, if you will, in your gut. So probiotics are great. They're not all are created equal. So most of them historically over the counter in different grocery stores and such, your stomach will just destroy them before they get anywhere. So the delayed release option that we have helps it get through some of the destroying aspects of the stomach and start getting absorbed in the small intestine, where it can start to benefit you. Okay. So prebiotics and probiotics, also a very helpful aspect.
Yeah. Now, you broke down the difference between those two. What are some of the other characters? You mentioned like digestive enzymes. How do these all work together? Like, what are their roles in the digestive system? I'd like to get a little bit clearer idea of that.
So enzymes are basically, you produce those. Mm-hmm. So you'll produce enzymes. If you were to eat right now, your body starts producing enzymes that help break down that food in the gut. And then a whole bunch of different physiological things happen to get that food ready to go to the next stage. The small intestine really likes that food broken down well. So digestive enzymes help do that. Mm-hmm. So if you take an external source of those, it's just going to be easier, and you're going to have a more thorough breakdown. Therefore, nutrients will get absorbed more readily. They're more bioavailable, if you will, ready for absorption. So that's where enzymes come into play. Probiotics are going to help increase that gut flora, which is going to help your immune system and also help your absorption of nutrients and help kind of the function overall in the digestive tract. Prebiotics, again, feed the bacteria that's already there in a mm-hmm. healthy way.
Yeah.
So if you take antibiotic or another medication that can, you know, kind of be harmful to bacteria, antibiotics, for example, don't discriminate, right? They're going to mm-hmm. kill good and bad bacteria. So a lot of people say, well, I eat yogurt, so I should have enough bacteria. And yogurt's great, but again, how broad a spectrum is it? It's not like Life 9, which is a really broad spectrum. You're going to get some bacterial benefit, but again, your stomach's going to destroy a lot of that. Hmm. So,
yeah. Now, I think what's really interesting about this is that, you know, food is really, in a lot of ways, the building block of a healthy digestive system.
Absolutely.
From what I'm understanding. And so, what would our diet look like if we were optimizing it for digestive health?
For digestive health?
Yeah.
Lots of living food, I would say. And everybody's different, right?
Yeah.
Food allergies and sensitivities are a reality of our modern world, so you can't ignore it. So I wouldn't say one size fits all or one meal plan fits all. But in general, living food is your best bet. And meat should be more sparingly. I love bacon. I'm a good-hearted American. I love bacon. But it shouldn't be every morning because that's just really hard on your body. So meat, I'm not a vegetarian, and you can do vegetarian right these days. There's plenty of resources to be able to do it. I don't happen to be one, but you can be, and certainly that's a healthy route. But if you do eat meat, just make sure it's every so often and in the right quantities. You're not overdoing it, overburdening your system.
Okay.
So lots of living food.
Yeah. What else do we really need to know that maybe there's like a common misunderstanding about gut or about, you know, digestive health, or just something that we really should be emphasizing more or what have you?
I would say a couple of big keys. As I did a Facebook Live on this and got some questions, it really triggered some thoughts. I think a lot of people don't realize that they're overeating. They're overeating. A lot of us eat too late, and we wonder why we have chronic acid reflux issues. There's some food sensitivities to play there as well, can be, but overeating is a big issue. Chewing your food well enough, eating slower, mm-hmm. and then not overeating. We have to stop and listen, are we full? And it's okay, you know, child of the 80s, I was taught clean your plate.
Yeah.
And I know children in the 70s, the same thing, it was like, clean your plate. You know, there's starving children around the world, clean mm-hmm. your plate. And that's not necessarily always the best choice. Because if you got too big of a serving and your body's telling you, I feel good, I'm done. It's okay to be hungry again a couple hours later. You know, we're not in the depression anymore. There's plenty of food. We just need to stop and kind of realize, I think I'm done. That will go just really pay dividends if we are mindful and listen to our bodies tell us when we're done. Because those signals are going on. Your second brain is going to tell your first brain, hey, you're finished. You're okay. And we just need to listen, and then that'll take a load off of our digestive system.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned childhood, right? And I think that's something that's important to remember, is that so many of these habits are created
yes.
when we're children. How do you teach this kind of stuff to kids? How do you get them on board?
I have three little girls, and every parent knows how difficult it is to get your kids to eat right and eat healthy. The key is, and my wife and I work on this, I'm pretty weak when I'm shopping. So first of all, don't take your kids shopping, grocery shopping. Figure out how to get around that. And number two, if you don't buy it, especially smaller kids, they can't access it, at least not nearly as easily.
Mm-hmm.
So think about what's in your pantry, what's in your fridge, and start just looking at labels. I know our members are super health savvy,
mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, they really know their stuff. But you need to pay attention to labels, pay attention to the sugar content. I've had so many patients, again, I eat super healthy. They don't realize they're having a half a cup to a cup of sugar every breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't always have to be sweetened, have processed fruit in it, or fruit juice in it. Try to get some naturally sweet and enjoyable foods, and get creative. I know it's hard, it takes homework, especially if mom and dad are both working, it can be challenging to spend time on it, but it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Kids will be healthier, they'll be happier, they'll be better behaved, they'll sleep better, and they'll have better energy and probably focus better in school.
You know, if mom and dad are reading the label, that's a good opportunity to give the kids a little, like, kind of teaching them how to be literate of nutrition labels.
Yes.
Right? Because those take a little bit of learning and figuring out and going, okay, is 7 grams of sugar too much?
Right.
Is it, you know, and getting that kind of relativity.
Yes. And you look at serving size as well.
Age. Yeah.
And that's important because, you know, sometimes we want to get a granola cereal and we think, oh, that's better than the Fruit Loops. And then you look, it actually has more sugar.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
But the serving size is so different. Instead of a cup, maybe it's, you know, a third a cup. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you have way different ratios. So paying attention to labels, doing a little bit of the math, and then just counting, you know, sugar and looking at the ingredients. Mm-hmm. The heavier the list, the worse it is. If you're at the grocery store, a couple things to really key in on. I always like the stick to the perimeter.
Oh, of the grocery store?
Of the grocery store, because the healthier stuff's on the outside.
Yeah.
Another one I really like is one ingredient, because it's not a mystery what's in it.
Mm.
One ingredient. Now, we don't all eat just one ingredient, but if you make that the rule, not the exception, you're going to be a lot healthier.
Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us about digestive health. It's been great to have you.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Before we jump into our conversation with Ed, we're going to take a quick break for a message from the Young Living blog team. We know what it's like to have a hard day. You can't stop thinking about that rude email, the baby won't stop crying, and you're 3 days late on that work presentation that you've been working on all month. You might be wishing for a genie in a bottle right about now, but since that might be a little unrealistic, what about a hug in a bottle? Lucky for you, we have some oil blend recipes with comforting aromas that we like to call hugs in a bottle on the blog. Search hug in a bottle at youngliving.com/blog to find these uplifting oil ideas. We're back and we're sharing highlights of our 2016 conversation with Ed Daly on mindful eating. He's going to share with us some tips on how to eat right that will complement our conversation we just had with Chad Goodman. Let's jump in.
So I want to ask you some questions today. What if you ate only when you were hungry? What if you stopped when you were full? Do you check in several times during the meal to see how full you actually are? What if you sat down to eat every meal with no distractions? What if you never hid what you ate from others or felt shame about what you ate? And what if you looked in the mirror and loved what you saw? So let's talk about the first question. I think that's really important because many times, again, we're eating and related to stress, or we're eating when we're agitated, or we're eating when we're bored. And I think every time we do that, it creates a little bit of a problem. So what's needed, again, is mindfulness to, am I actually hungry? When we talk about stopping to eat when we're full, in one of the blue zones in the world in Okinawa, Japan, they have this concept, it's called hari hachibu. And what it means is that you stop eating when you're 80% full. And several times during the meal, they actually put their chopsticks down or put their forks down, and they're actually checking in to feel how full they actually are. It takes 20 to 30 minutes for the signals from the brain to reach the stomach to actually let you know that you're full. So I recommend this to everybody. I travel the world, and wherever I go, I'm always seeing people eating on the go. And I think this is really not a good thing for us as human beings. And we're sitting down at times, but we're distracted. And that, again, takes us away from looking at how full we actually are. If you sit in front of a television and you're watching TV, you're less likely to actually check in with yourself and see how full you are. And you really are at risk of overeating. Many times we hide what we eat. I worked in healthcare for many years, over 2 decades, and many of my colleagues would often feel shame, or they would hide what they were eating. They had secret areas of candy or high caloric things that they would consume when, you know, they were not in front of people. And so this learning to eat in full view of others is one of the best things that you can do. There's no reason to hide. As we know, when we look in the mirror, sometimes we don't like what we see. And when you are working and vibrating in a state of optimum health, with being more mindful of nutrition, then the chances increase that you're actually going to be much happier when you look in the mirror. Again, it comes down to mindfulness and why are you eating? I think we've moved away from, in this country, being able to look at food as medicine, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit. So here's a meal challenge I'd like to send to each of you to do for the next month. When you sit down to eat, ask yourself, how hungry am I? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most ravenous you've ever felt in your life. And number two, maybe even before the meal, what foods does my body need right now? So many times I'll be traveling and I'll need greens, or I'll need a fresh juice, or I'll need something substantial. Maybe I'll need some protein and some meat. And again, we're checking in with ourselves. We're becoming more mindful of what the body needs. Now, once you start to eat, what does your food taste like? What is the texture of the food? And the most important, am I enjoying the food that I'm consuming right now? How many times have you sat down to a meal and you've ate the whole meal, and about halfway through you're like, you know, this doesn't even taste good anymore? So again, this constant checking in, this constant mindfulness that we do during our meal time is very important. The Buddha had a great quote, said, every human being is the author of their own health. And I want you all to understand that I advocate for all members, and I'm asking you to advocate for yourself, because the reality is that your life is a sum total of all your choices. And if you continue to make bad food choices over and over and over again, eventually you will pay the price for poor nutrition.
Chad mentioned how food can be a medicine for our bodies. So here's a deeper look to what he meant by that.
In functional medicine, there's a doctor, his name is Dr. Mark Hyman, and he says, every time you eat or drink, you're either feeding disease or you're fighting it. You know, we know things like high sugar diets increase your risk of cancer. We know that, you know, diets high in fat and cholesterol increase your risk of cardiovascular diseases. So again, when you're thinking about nutrition, it comes down to mindfulness. In this country, in many countries, we've gone away from what Hippocrates said when he said, let food be thy medicine. And we look at food now as something that just fills us up. And I want you all to redo that. I want you to rethink that. And I want you to think about that food is medicine. And again, optimum nutrition, everyone, really is the medicine of the future. And as I said earlier, you will eventually pay the price of poor nutrition sooner or later. I can't tell you how many times I've taken care of someone in the hospital, and you know, they've been eating badly for years, and then they come in, they've had a heart attack, and I said, you know, I don't understand. I don't understand why I had this heart attack. And then when you start to ask them questions, then you really realize that this has been going on for decades and decades. You know, we know that when you are eating poorly, this causes a lot of oxidative stress in the body. So if I consume a very large meal, the body has to take all those calories and it has to break them down into energy. And that process causes a lot of oxidative stress. Basically, the body's rusting from the inside out. I'm always advocating for people to eat smaller, frequent meals, increasing the basal metabolic rate.
So Ed just gave us some really helpful facts, but how do we make sure that we have healthy foods surrounding us at home? Ed's here to help with that too.
What is needed? More mindfulness when you shop, looking at products. A lot of things that are considered to be healthy or is marketed as healthy actually have very high sugar content.
Part of mindful eating is buying healthy foods in the first place, but overhauling our diets can seem daunting. I know this is something that I particularly am like a little intimidated by, and I know I can be intimidated by, you know, where to even begin. And so Ed has the answer to that question, and it's not as scary as you might think.
You know, when you're your ideal weight, your self-esteem is good, you have less cardiovascular problems, less problems with your joints, you actually absorb your nutrients better, you have better digestion, better sleep, people demonstrate less endocrine diseases like diabetes, and overall, they just have better general health. You know, and starting small is important, everyone. You know, Mother Teresa said, don't do large deeds with no love, but do small deeds with a lot of love. And so many times, I think what happens is that we're trying to do too much. You know, oh, I want to lose 10 pounds, you know, in this month. It's like, you know, maybe 1 or 2 pounds this month is going to be good. So learn to set small, sustainable goals for yourself. Achieve those goals, because when you do, you know, you become more confident, and that's a good thing. So I'm always asked, Ed, where do I begin? You know, like, I want to be more mindful of nutrition. I want to lose a couple pounds. Where do I begin? Well, to wrap it all up, number one, start to wean yourself off sugar. Start to look at labels. Start to really see where your sugar consumption is. Do it slowly. You know, people often think, well, you know, I drink 6 cans of Coca-Cola a day. I'm going to cut that all back. I'm going to stop cold turkey. I don't think that's a good idea. I think start slowly and just, you know, maybe you cut down to 4 cans a day, you know, for a couple of weeks, 2 cans, and do it over a longer period of time. But start to wean yourself off sugar and get to a more acceptable level. Implement these mindful eating practices. You know, go back and listen to the questions I asked you earlier, because these are very important questions. You know, if you sit down to a meal and you're checking in with yourself several times during the meal to see how full you are, if you're asking yourself, how full am I on a scale of 1 to 10? If you're asking yourself, you know, what is the texture of my food? Am I enjoying the food? These are all things which are going to help you create more mindfulness. And quite honestly, everyone, what would you not do better in the world by being more mindful? Third, get an accountability partner. You know, someone who you're going to talk to on a weekly basis, and you're going to say, hey, I need you to help me out. I'm looking to drop 10 pounds. I'm looking to be more mindful of my nutrition. And this is someone you check in with, you know, once or twice a week, and you're more likely to be successful, because if you have an accountability partner, the chances are you're not going to want to disappoint them. And then you're going to have to do what you've been tasked to do, whether it's to eat less sugar, maybe to get out and move a little bit more, no matter what it is. So these people are people in your life who you fully trust, and that they're going to help you achieve your goals. Increase your water intake. I think dehydration is one of the biggest things that I've seen as a nurse for many years. And, you know, most of us are not consuming enough water. Be very careful of some of the things that, you know, are disguised as healthy water. They actually contain sugar or sugar substitutes, which are equally as unhealthy for you. And again, set small, obtainable goals. You know, go for 1 pound a week, 1 pound every 2 weeks. Maybe you're just going to start reading labels more. Maybe you're going to start to ask the questions. Maybe your goal is just to check in at every meal and to see when you're 80% full, that Hari Hachibu concept we talked about earlier. And then when you're more successful and you're achieving those goals, you feel much better about yourself.
Thanks for all these awesome tips, Chad and Ed. These are great reminders to eat well, to support our digestive system, eat mindfully to improve our overall health. And it was a good little bit of motivation to, you know, get started down that path of healthy digestive systems and mindful eating. Thank you all for listening to Drop of Inspiration. Don't forget to go online to listen to the full mindful eating episode. Subscribe and find more information on healthy living at youngliving.com/podcast. This episode was produced with help from Ashley Frost. And I'm your host, Celeste Rosenblum. Stay inspired.